Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Crew First Culture Podcast. This is Jeremy, and very, very excited to get into this episode today because I am able to do one of my favorite things and share that with you all. And that is talk to my good friend, Rick George. How are you, Rick?
I am better than I deserve, bro. I really
That's
am.
right. Man, I'm gonna probably struggle with words here or there just because I feel like there's not a lot of words I can properly give to some of these things I'm thinking. But I finally got to meet you in person a couple weeks back in Florida, and that was an awesome thing. And some other good stuff came out of that day that we're gonna get into. But definitely one of the highlights of my trip. I've talked and texted and chatted with you for years, it seems like, but never actually physically been in the same room with you. But that was great because you're truly somebody that I could say means a lot to me.
Thank you, brother.
I'm struggling with the proper, weight of that statement. But the cool thing is, anytime I post anything about you, there's always somebody that tags on a comment or reaches out to me behind the scenes that says, "Hey, man, you're right on. Rick did so and so for me, or he reached out and helped a brother on our department." Whatever it is, and it's just amazing to see the reach that you have and the good that you have done, with what you have. And so I just wanted to throw that out there first. I really appreciate you and all that you do and your team. And so anytime I get a chance to sit down with you, I'm super excited and love it.
I love that. Thank you very much. But I want to get the context right. Yes, I do those things. But God's got his fingerprints all over that. And don't be rolling your eyes at me out there in internet land, all right? That's just the honest to God's truth. I was a godless man for a long time. I was a heathen, however the hell you want to describe it. And nobody does that kind of work unless it's God's will and God's work, and he opens the door. So we have this saying that, if God brings you to it, he qualifies you. He opens these doors. These people don't come to me to ask me for things because it's Rick George does this. No, that's just God has put certain events in my life, and he's allowed me to talk about things and experiences and stuff, and he gets that glory, not me. Rick George don't get that. I know Rick George, and he don't impress me one fucking bit. Okay, so I just want to throw that out there right away, because I know this is going to lead into some of the topic that we have on brew for
No,
today.
absolutely. But on that same thought, I think it's very important as well. We can just rabbit hole this to death all day, but you say that, but there's a lot of people out there that have great stories like yourself. There's a lot of people that have had tough backgrounds, but have been given opportunities by God that haven't taken advantage of that. They haven't shared their story. They haven't used those harder times in their life to bless and add value to others. They haven't taken advantage of those hard times. And so I think I appreciate you bringing that up because obviously that's a part of all this. Is that what that is all of this? It's the plan. It's the plan that we have nothing to do with except for just being a part of it, and hopefully we're going along the best we can. But the choice is ours, what we do with that.
That's
And
right.
man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that are hurting a lot more than they should because other people aren't sharing their stories with them. You know what I mean?
I do.
They aren't blessing the people they care about by letting them know they're not alone. Hey, I've been through this too, or I've not been through this, but let me tell you where I've struggled and how I dealt with some things. That type of thing is a big deal that doesn't need to be overlooked. If you have been through some stuff, which I'm assuming pretty much everybody has, there's somebody out there that needs to hear that. And so, again, going back to you, you know, you have that option. You have that option of you are coming from a bad place. You've worked yourself through it, years and years of pain and struggle and challenge to get to a good place now. And you could be done. You could be like, I'm good. I don't need to talk about it anymore. I'm fine. And that's all that matters. But nobody else is benefiting from that. And so it's really powerful to think of those two scenarios. You as just checked out and you're good because you're good. And you as who you are right now, who is doing something with that, just the impact that you are able to make outside of yourself. It's bigger than you. You are here for a purpose and you are striving to pursue that purpose. That is what we all need to be right there, is truly taking advantage of what we've been given. So I just wanted to add that. It's a big piece of all this for sure.
True. I get it.
So
we could pursue that all day long, but keep going.
Right. I don't care where we go.
It's all tied together. We'll circle back to this.
Oh yeah. But I kind of talked to Rick before, or really setting this up. Just, I wanted to talk about community. I wanted to talk about connection. Connection is kind of the word I use. Community is what he likes to use better. I don't care what it is. It's the relationships that we build and maintain, and just it's everything really for me, just speaking personally, it's everything. And that is really something I guess it's so important. And I'm so passionate about it right now because it's something I've really learned here in the past year or so at work, you know, at the firehouse, how important relationships are. You know, a lot of people lead with the thought of, once I'm a formal leader, I kind of got to separate myself and blah, blah, blah. And it's just sad. It's a sad thought that how much you're leaving on the table by not investing in those relationships. So anyway, I don't want to talk a lot. I want to hear you talk, but what is just throwing it out there to kind of get going. What is community? What is connection? What does that mean to you, Rick?
So it's everything. If let me mute this conversation that I'm on this group chat. I got to mute these guys. So I got my phone on for a reason, boys and girls, because I'm married. And if my wife texts me and I don't text back or answer the call, I'm in deep doo-doo. Okay.
That's going to get me in trouble too. So don't do that.
We all got a boss, you know, some of us got more than one boss, you know, but, you know, I grew up, the way that I grew up was, I was very insecure, low self-esteem. I didn't have a lot of confidence in myself. And then the few times that I did try to walk out on it, I got pretty much crushed. And, so you start learning to be cautious in your life growing up and try not to attract attention to yourself, go under the radar and all this stuff. And then I realized that didn't work. And sometimes it was worse that way. So, there's a lot of stuff. That's my foundation. Okay. And it ain't from a bad family or anything like that. It ain't like that at all. I had a great family. Still do to this day. Very, very supportive, very close family. I don't know why I did the things I did. So when people tell me, why do you think they do that? I look at them, I go, I don't know. Maybe there's lessons that they have to learn. I know clearly that was the case for me. I don't try to put everybody into that same box because I don't know, man. I mean, I got my hands full with my own damn life, trying to figure out somebody else's life. Just, you know, it's not smart, nor is it possible. So, as I start to go through these things, and it's a lot, it's from drug dealing and smuggling and collecting money and beating people up and hurting people and home invasions and all this. And I finally get sober, and I don't have a God because I grew up Catholic, and they jammed that down my throat. And I was like, yeah, no, that ain't happening. And just not my God. You know, if that's what God is, I'm out. And not that the Catholic religion is wrong, right? It's like the fire service. Look at the fire service.
Oh, yeah.
We got good firemen and we got POSs, you know? You got leaders and you got managers, and there are those that can't lead a dog on a leash, you know? So it's the same everywhere. So when I say that, you know, it's across the board when I make comments like that. So I blow off the Catholic religion and at the process, I leave God in the dust. And so I grow up and I do all that stuff that I mentioned. And then eventually one day, because I'm so smart, I figure out, holy three holies, I got this figured out, man. Every time I do drugs or alcohol, I end up in jail, you know? There's a problem here. I end up, you know, the trifecta is I meet a girl and, you know, we go home together and I get in a fight and I end up in jail. That's the trifecta. That's the, that is a complete weekend. I have been successful in my quest. That was my life. And when I got sober, I've been sober, God willing, this will be my 36th year of sobriety. And when I got sober, I realized a lot of the stuff that I was screwing up and a lot of stuff I didn't know and how little of a man I really was and what I thought a man was really wasn't. So I did a lot of growing up then. I was surrounded, using that as an example, when I would go to meetings, these 12-step meetings, when I would go, I'm surrounded by other people that are trying to do better with their lives. And there's a roadmap. It's called 12 steps and 12 traditions, right? So I'm learning, unbeknownst to me, I am surrounded. I am immersed in a community that is trying to do better with their life. I'm like, I just thought it was cool that we weren't out causing crime sprees anymore, you know, and that we're actually got real jobs and stuff. And then I don't have to do drugs or drink to be the kind of man that I want to be, because I was so insecure before that the alcohol and the drugs allowed me to be anything I wanted to be, you know? And I was damn good at it, you know, it just, unfortunately it was all illegal. And this is different, is teaching me how to do those things, not just legally, but morally. Now the word moral shows up. When I look at it, I was living an immoral life. It just meant I was in the absence of morals, morals being anything that is good and right. And so learning all that led me back to believing in God, my God, not anybody else's God, my God. My God happens to be the God of the Bible, God of Jacob, the God of Abraham. Okay, it's Jesus Christ. But I learned that in a Bible study with a group of knuckleheads. There was a couple of firemen in there. One of them was retired. There was two cops. One was retired. We had a career criminal that was supposed to have life in prison who was out. He was in our group. We had a judge. We had all kinds of people in this group. And it wasn't like they're telling you what it is. We're debating the Bible and what something means. And so we're tearing it down and coming to an understanding for ourselves, which was very important to me, because I don't really, the way that I teach pragmatically. If you understand why something works, you'll buy into it. If I tell you the science, the theory, the science, and how to do it, and then you experience it, you're like, I'm fucking in. And that's what happened. That's what happened, and that's how it got me in. You know, so that was the beginning, in a nutshell, of how the community and everything came together. Because in between all that crap, there was a marriage that was failed, three kids. There was a diagnosis with PTSD, suicide ideation. I put a gun in my mouth again, second time in my life I did that. This time, because I thought I was a coward the first time. And it was clearly just God's voice telling me, it ain't time yet, boy. You know, be a man, but don't be a coward. And the second time, I thought about my kids. And I was like, oh, what? Really? We're going to go back to that. You're going to go back to being that guy, selfish, thoughtless, self-centered, you know? And because it was about me, you know, forget everybody else. And so I learned these things and they stuck with me because they were very valuable. So when it came time to talk about those things, I have a problem with it. See, because I work under a theory. The theory is if somebody else did to me what I do to myself, I'd have to kill them. Because ain't nobody else, nobody in the world ever hurt me the way I hurt myself. So what's the harm in letting you in? Most of my life was keeping people, keeping myself guarded. I'm not letting nobody in for nothing because they get hurt. They're not trustworthy. All this other crap. You know what? People are trustworthy up to the point where they're not. And you have to know where people are trustworthy to. You know, you know where people, how far you can trust somebody, you know? It's not about not trusting anyone. And so telling my story, and then I'm listening to guys that are, you know, when I went through my whole, I noticed in the fire service that when we do blackout drills, it gets dicey, right? Guys will freak out. They'll panic. Some people don't go through. So I got, it happened to me when I first put on a freaking an old MSA, which like it was about this big, the freaking panel to see through, and it had this big elephant trunk, that corrugated tubing that the old MSAs had. And I put that, my eyes were like saucers. I was like, holy shit. It was just one of those holy shit moments, like, holy crap, I feel really enclosed. I'm in the middle, I'm outside, I'm in a huge bay, but I have all this gear on, I'm encapsulated. And I felt claustrophobic. I was like, oh, so I practiced with that stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that if I got comfortable doing it every day, eventually I'd get comfortable doing it anywhere. And that's what happened. Well, I tried to explain that to people, but I wasn't very good at it. And then it was the whole PTSD thing that got me started. So divorce, was the key. That was the catalyst. So, you know, biblically, there's a lot of really great examples. So in the Bible, they talk about sowing seeds. This guy throws seeds. Some of it landed on the rock. Some of it landed in the dirt. Some of it landed in fertile soil. The stuff that was in fertile soil grew. The stuff that was in the sand grew for a little bit and died. The stuff that was in the rock got eaten by the birds and stuff and took off, never rooted. That's kind of the way that my life is, because that's a representation of my foundation. So my foundation was my family, right? But lo and behold, the woman I thought I was married to, we get a divorce. I don't have a family. It's being, my kids are being used as weapons against me. So my foundation is completely shattered. My whole world starts to fall apart. I think putting a gun in my mouth is the end of it. It's not because of that. It's because now I can't sleep. I can't control my emotions. I go from one side of sheer joy to the other side of sheer desperation and tears. It didn't matter where I was. I just break down and start crying. You know how fucking emasculating that is for a guy that's a fucking type A personality that thinks that, you know what, if this don't fix it, this will, you know, it's really emasculating. So I got what we call right-sized. I got fucking Ricky Tick. I got fucking right-sized, you know? And, I started telling myself I was never any good at any of this and blah, 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 because my foundation was broken. And that's when I realized, oh my God, what do you put all of your eggs in? And that's where my journey for my relationship with God comes in, because it's my foundation now. Everything else gets yanked away. I still got that. And if you don't have that relationship, you don't understand what I'm talking about. And I don't begrudge you if you don't understand it, because that journey has taken me 50 something years to get to. So listen, if you don't get it, you don't believe it, I don't care. That's fine. And I don't judge you for it. And we still be like best buddies, you know, because I know that it's the freaking journey that's important. Yeah. All of that shit I went through is how I can relate to people. It's, and if I don't have that connection with you and you're not willing to have it, there's no reason to continue to try to force that, but I will continue to be genuine, right? See, because there's an integrity and an authority that you can speak when you are genuine. And that's really important. I don't talk about stuff I don't know and I haven't experienced. And it just so happens the stuff that I know and I've experienced afflicts a lot of people. And so you wrote it yourself. There is affliction, there is hope, and there's perseverance. And it really is the formula, you know. And in between those, there's a lot of other things. There's humility, there's understanding, there's kindness, there's patience, there's peace, there's love. There's a lot of things that are involved in it. Those are virtues. Those are characteristics of, those are characteristics of character, and high moral character is what leaders have. You know, you don't have that, you don't have a leader. You may be a freaking smoky, firefighting, knuckle dragon, knocked down, dragged down animal, but you're not a true leader, because a true leader can understand what his people are going through. He has a foundation and knows that, okay, I see how that could happen. How do I best help him, her? How do I help them with that? See, because my purpose ain't the fire service. My purpose ain't Rick George working at a freaking treatment facility for uniformed personnel and running groups and helping veterans and cops and firemen and all this other crap. No. And Rick George ain't no damn fireman. You know, Rick George is retired. I got to do all that stuff. But my purpose is very simple. It's servant leadership, period. End of story. I provide a service to anybody and everybody that I can apply my leadership traits to. My leadership being my character, my morals. And it's not morals and values, because morals, all those things that are good and right, that are supported by virtues, is what dictates what my values are. If I'm a fucking pirate, guess what? A freaking gun and a sharp freaking blade and a group of guys to go rape, burn, pillage, and loot. That's my foundation. But I'm not a pirate, you know? Although my neighbor does fly a pirate flag, I am not a pirate. It really comes down to you. A lot of people think it's the external shit, and it ain't. I used to teach roof ops and cutting roofs and flat roofs, pitch roofs, all kinds of shit. And I loved it. We taught search. We did forcible entry. We did rescues. We were big on RIT and Mayday. And I got to do all of that stuff. But what I am talking about is not an external skill set. It's an internal skill set. And that's what we teach in our classes, is the internal skill sets. And a lot of guys have problem. There's this thing. A lot of people think they can multitask. You can't. It's called cognitive flexibility, how quickly you can move back and forth from one to the other. And some people do it so quick, it appears as if they're doing it at the same time, but both sides of the brain can't fire at the same time while you're operating. It doesn't work like that. That's just so what I explain to them is, look, this is a whole different task. The mission is different, but we give them tasks that are fire service oriented. So they think when they go into a maze that they've got to complete it. They don't understand that's not the task. The task is self-regulation. Everything is based off internal. And so when they go in, you know, any of this stuff, any second floor VES through a ladder, same damn thing. It's all internal stuff. How well are you self-regulating to be able to keep your situational awareness together, your decision-making, and your critical thinking? You know, your pattern recognition, all of this stuff that starts to fall into place. If you could self-regulate and control that and understand that the mindset controls the emotion controls the biology, and the biology determines the outcome, the biology being which nervous system are you accessing? Sympathetic causes irrational thinking. Parasympathetic causes rational thinking. And the ability to hammer out the pattern recognition, the decision-making, the situational awareness, and the critical thinking. But there's just not a lot of classes that teach that. And that just came from my experience through life and all the freaking hard lessons that I learned, you know? And honestly, my relationship with God was the very last piece, and it was the missing component, because I just felt hollow up to that point. So I was very successful at all the stuff I did, but I was not fulfilled until I had a relationship with God. And that's just me being honest and transparent with everybody. You know, I know there's, you know, there's not, I think there's probably, number one, I'm sober. and I'm bored again. So I got two strikes against me in a lot of people's categories. They're like, ah, Jesus Christ, this fucking guy, you know? And, but the reality is that's just the truth, man. I'm not going to lie to get you to believe something that you don't, you know, you either want to believe that or you don't, you know? And that foundation allowed me to seek help from other people, professionals, sports and military psychologists, very reputable and well-known people. They got a pedigree and they're very well known. You know, they got a rep, they got street cred. And so people would send these people to me because I'm doing these exercises to get better because of the anxiety that I also developed on top of the suicide ideation, the inability to sleep and all this, all the PTSD symptoms and shit. And I started doing these exercises. These gentlemen started offering for me to try to get back to whole again, right? On the job and be able to keep a mask on. Other people saw me training like that. They wanted to train with me. And I just thought that was the weirdest shit ever. I'm like, really? You want to do this? Okay, well, but this is how I'm going to do it. And they're like, no, that's cool. They had the same problem I did. They just, none of us wanted to admit it. None of us wanted to say it. You know, what's going on with you? I can't keep my fucking mask on my face, bro. I'm flipping the fuck out. I feel like I'm a, I don't feel like I'm a fireman anymore. I don't even feel like I fit in, but this is my career. This is what I got. You know, I got 15 years vested in this shit. And I want to go back to construction. I'm too damn old. I got nothing else. All my eggs are in this basket. And so there's finances and all this other shit. My ego is involved and all this other crap, just like everybody else, you know? And so all those things start to come together and we start to do these classes, which just kind of popped up. One of the guys that worked at the college said, dude, you should put this class together and do it at the college. You can get paid for doing this. I'm thinking, money, I'm in. I need some. I'm in an ugly ass divorce. This shit is not going well. I ain't got no damn money. I said, so let's do it. And we did. And they came. It was crazy. We had to put a cap on the class because we were doing 16-hour days, you know, with like 35 students and just me and Bob Carpenter. You know, and it was absolutely burned us out. We brought Dave Gillespie in and that helped, you know, but it was still just so a series of things occurred. And so that led to, you know, people that were not going through smoke divers, they weren't making it through smoke divers or flames or anything. They're being advised to come and take my class. And I'm like, I don't know why you're here. And then it clicked and I understood why. Smoke divers listen, you want to find out where your weakness is, where your flaw is, go to smoke divers. They're going to show you what your weakness is. And there's a reason for that. When you figure out what your weakness is, now you can work on it, develop it into a strength. Then you can go back again. This is the test. Then you go back again to smoke divers and see how well you do. You know, the tests are always arduous and the teacher is always quiet during the test, but you have to prepare for the test, you know? And so they were sending these guys that weren't making it, that thought they weren't good firemen because they couldn't get through smoke divers. And it's just, you can't make this shit up. They just came, you know? And that's why I say, you know, I know Rick George, that man don't impress me one fucking bit, you know? And this stuff, it ain't me, you know, it is some guy that stumbled on how important being transparent is, because what developed next was a community. And that community is what you experienced with the instructors that we have, that we had at Pensacola, the same instructors that are, you know, at MAFSE, the Atlanta Fire Conference, same ones that were in Portland during the firemanship conference, the same ones that were down in San Antonio when we did that. And the cadre gets bigger and bigger because there's actually a lot of men with the skill set out there that know once they get exposed to what it is that we're doing, you see that light switch go off and you see that look and they're like, ooh, like, I never thought about that. Holy shit, that makes total sense. And then you watch them immerse themselves in this stuff. You know, it really is a thing to watch, you know. I don't know if I see you and I, we recognize it. I just don't know if I'm explaining it well. And then it, during the podcast, we're going to go, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Is he fucking tripping or what, man? You know, what is in that cigar this fucking guy's smoking? You know? Let me explain that. I've always been a bit of a loner because I really didn't think people would get me. The Goo Goo Dolls sing that song about they don't want anybody to know who they are because they don't think the world would understand. That was me, you know, and I really didn't think the world would understand. And the one thing that I hate is when I'm trying to be genuine and somebody tries to belittle me because old Rick comes back and this comes up and this one's right behind it. And then later on, the self-loathing that occurs because once again, I failed at a test, you know, it's very frustrating. But early on, I have been doing this most of my life. So, and a lot of the people in your audience will probably go, yeah, I've been doing aspects of that, if not all of that same stuff, most of my life. Where I really actually enjoyed helping people more than I enjoyed hurting them. I just hurt people because I was going to do it to them before they could do it to me. That was the mindset, you know? And the helping aspect is Wednesday nights. We meet here at my house. I got a fire pit over here. And in the summertime, we just meet under the pavilion with the ceiling fans going at about 1,000 million RPMs, you know? This group of men are men that have been broken, men that have had trials, and they've been close, you know. Some of these guys are military veterans, and some are active, some are you know, inactive, some are firemen, some are cops, and they have been through, they understand, and we sit down and it starts at 6 o'clock. I got to run these fuckers out at 10 o'clock and they still go in high speed, you know, because what happens, that group, man, you start talking, we're smoking cigars, we're eating, you know, and we're ordering food and you see the joy, you see the transparency, the openness, the honesty, the love for each other. These guys will take a fucking bullet for the other guy. They will. There are guys that have been, we've in the middle of the morning, 2-3 in the morning, the phone call comes in and we will drive to your house and sit with you while the other one gathers all your weapons and removes them and takes them for safe storage. These are guys that will show up when you've got suicide ideation or you're having relationship problems, you know. One of the guys was missing a ketamine treatment and one of the other guys took him out. And when he was leaving, he goes, "Hey man, I want to talk to you." And he gave him $120 for the treatment. He says, "You can't miss any treatments." It was a series of events, but it very humbling for the one guy, very humbling for the other guy. But that is the connection that you witnessed. That is the connection that we're hoping to steer towards and set a lay foundation for all that crap. And that's what I call that community. So I am involved. I'll give you an idea. When Rick is alone, Rick is in a bad neighborhood. That's a fucking ugly neighborhood when Rick is alone. Because I get some ideas that are not, they're not what a God-fearing man would have, nor is it what a married man would have. And so I surround myself with righteous men. And what I mean by that is guys that are trying to strive to become better versions of themselves. If you're not doing that, man, we could hang out, we go to lunch and all that, but we ain't gonna have no kind of relationship, you know?
Yeah.
And so Monday nights is my Bible study with a group of total freaking knuckle dragon, freaking knuckleheads. I mean, it's awesome. And then Tuesday night, I go to a meeting. It's a men's meeting, and about 50 to 75 guys. that I know I could call any time of the day for help and would fucking be there. And I've been going to that meeting for over 30 years, almost 30 years, 28 years. And then Wednesday nights is at my house. And then, and that's my thing, that I'm involved in this because that's my community. Those are my people, you know, and it helps me to live this life that's very difficult to live, you know. It's very hard to walk a righteous life in an unrighteous world, bro. You get ridiculed. Temptation will come at you. The Bible also talks about how the devil roams the earth like a hungry lion looking to devour its next prey, you know, roaring and all that shit. And I look at it like the better that you're doing in life, the harder the temptations come for you. There's always, and people always say, well, there's always somebody looking to knock you down. That ain't true. It ain't somebody. That's the fucking devil. That's his job.
Yeah.
His job is to pull you away from when you're doing the right thing. You know, and his greatest, like I said before, his greatest lie, I told your son, his greatest lie, his greatest trick is to fool you into believing he don't exist. You know, and he does. And anybody who's worked in this line of work has seen evil. They have seen evil. And if you haven't, I don't know where the fuck you work, but you come to work in Palm Beach County, we show you evil, you know?
Yeah.
Every place has got that, you know? And if you've seen evil, then there is good. And you're talking about God, and you're talking about the devil, man, you know? And it really, everybody has experienced it. It depends on how you want to, you know, categorize it. But that sense of community, you have it when you walk into your firehouse. And if you don't, you need to establish. And if it can't be established, you need to go to another firehouse or recruit other people into your firehouse. You know, that bond, that sense of community, that sense of doing the right shit. You know what I love about the fire service? We're held to a higher ethical standard because people will invite us to the worst day of their life and expect us not to steal all their fucking money, their jewelry, look through their fucking medicine cabinets, you know, shit like that. And we go there to do what? Help total strangers. At times, putting our own lives in peril for them. And we don't know who them is sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it all translates, man. It's all the same thing. And that community is the most important thing. People, this whole thing, and I've been trying to write this article, and I just can't get it out right. This whole medical marijuana thing. There's this big debate in South Florida about medical. Well, I got my medical marijuana card. And, you know, if I come to work, you can't hold that against me because, and I'm like, what are you saying? You got a medical marijuana card, so you come to work stoned. Let me tell you something. You got a driver's license too. A driver's license allows you to buy alcohol. You can't come to work drunk. You need to show up ready to go to fucking work. You know, you're either under the influence or you're not. You're either fit for duty or you're not, you know, and, you know, people are, you know, they're going to legalize it here. They're going to fuck everything up because the medicinal values of it are going to be overlooked and it's going to be used for recreational purposes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't understand when they're taking it for anxiety. They don't understand. You smoking cannabis, you smoking a fucking blunt, right? The tetrahydrocannabinol, the THC in that shit causes anxiety. Not in everybody, but it has the potential to cause anxiety. Now, when they extract that and you have just the cannabinoid oil, it will do exactly as the same thing. It will remove the anxiety, but not give you the high. So if you're using it for medicinal purposes, you have to find a very clean source for cannabinoid oil. And one of the places you can look for is under the Bone Frog Foundation. Bone Frog being the designation for a dead Navy SEAL. The Bone Frog Foundation out of Georgia is very strong. Josh and Ben, it's actually Ben is the founder. Josh works there. Very intelligent guys, former military guys, SEAL team and Army Ranger. He is the guy that the sniper, you know, the high value acquisition guy. That's a deadly motherfucker. But there's this debate, and I'm like, oh, man, it's really, are you just using it to get high? Because there really is no debate. You're either fit for duty or you're not. Yeah. And, you know, this is how all this shit started with the, back in the day, what was his name? Dennis Leary, Kevin mm-hmm. Leary, Dennis Leary with the LSD.
Yeah, so the LSD, Rescue Me show.
No, no, no. This was 19. It was in the '60s. Anyways, LSD 25 is the miracle drug curing depression, even some substance abuse, anxiety, PTSD, traumatic brain injury. It is around the world. They're freaking, and it comes over here and it starts to get abused. So as it gets abused, Nixon in 65 creates a Schedule One, says this shit's got no medicinal value. Well, it does. And that's why microdosing is coming back and all this other stuff. And that's why medical marijuana is back on the board. But there's always an abuse. It's the same with, you know, pain pills, any of that shit. Oh, yeah. But the community is where it's important, because you get other men to support you, and for the women, other women to support you. For me, I don't get involved in commingled groups because I'm a fucking man, you know? And, you know, God spelled backwards, the opposite direction is dog. And I am part fucking dog too. So no, I don't go to fucking places that could jeopardize, you know, where it is I'm trying to get to. It don't mean that women are bad. It just means Ricky's fucking bad, you know? Yeah. So let me catch my breath. Tell me something.
You're fine. No.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. Really appreciate your time. Hope you enjoyed this first installment of the conversation I had with Rick George. There'll be 3 episodes with him. This is the first one. There'll be 2 more to come here pretty quick. Cut it down because it was a long conversation and just trying to keep the episodes a little bit shorter. But hope you enjoyed it. There's a lot more fire to come from him. He is definitely an amazing person, and I appreciate him so much. So thank you for that. We'll look forward to seeing you next time. Until then, stay humble, do work.